Hour number five of the G-Bag Nation. Oh, it's the Power Hour, baby. As we're out here, Oxnard, California, Cowboys training camp. We will do, I believe, a hodgepodge coming up on the other side there. Eric Dawson on the phone. Brian's out doing God knows what Brian is. Thank you to DJ for out here engineering. Thank you, everybody, that's been part of our training camp coverage. We love you. And we got a lot of trades to discuss here, fellas. Oh, we sure do. And one of the Rangers' potential targets.
Thank you, Zach.
Off the map here. Of course, I got you. As Johan Duran, who was a reliever for the Twins, is now a member of the Philadelphia Phillies. They've agreed on a deal to acquire the star closer from Minnesota. He was one of the most coveted relievers on the market ahead of the deadline tomorrow. Philadelphia sent catcher Eduardo Tate, right-hander Mick Abel to Minnesota in return. Tate and Abel, man, those are the fourth and fifth best prospects in the Phillies organization. Quite the return for the 27-year-old Duran, who's given up just one home run this season and has 1.66 ERA, sixth among major league pitchers with at least 43 innings at the break. He was certainly one of the most coveted arms, and Philadelphia gave up a lot to acquire him.
Yeah, you know, and good for them, and that's kind of what I was wondering about with Jared Sandler earlier, is the teams holding the premier relievers at this point are trying to hold up everybody, right? And I was wondering what CY's perspective would be or how much appetite for aggression he would have there. I think this is great news, even though a premier reliever is off the market. Now the teams that are less desperate and the teams that are less insistent on getting maximum value, the dominoes, I think, will fall pretty quickly here over the next 24 hours. 23 hours, Wolchuk.
Yeah, and I know the Rangers obviously were interested in Duran, but I didn't think that he was one of the most likely candidates. I know I've talked with Jared about Pete Fairbanks. Helsley of St. Louis, I think, is certainly a name to monitor. Bird in Colorado is another one. But, yeah, it's a bummer. And the Mariners, within your own division, made another deal. So they're also getting some bullpen help. They get Caleb Ferguson in a trade with the Pirates. And it's interesting because Pittsburgh, I believe, has made their all-star closer. It's the Padres, excuse me. They've also now made their all-star closer available in Robert Suarez. So A.J. Preller, who former Ranger organization assistant GM, maybe that's something the Rangers could get into. That was per John Heyman. Robert Suarez now available. So
there what's his numbers like? How good is he?
So I believe he was an all-star this year, but he's got 46 Ks, MLB high 30 saves, and 46 appearances this season. But he's older. He's 34 years old. His ERA is 3.5 right now, but that could be the best.
That sounds like more the Rangers' speed right now.
Old guy?
With the price. Yeah, and they love old guys.
Especially the bullpen.
Yeah, you know, so I think this is a perfect situation for more of a rent-a-player type of spot, player.
It could work. I mean, there's just plenty of names out there. So I know, hey, for Ranger fans, they're like, Duran's the guy we want. I understand. That's a bummer. You see the Mariners within your own division making moves, and they're getting better. But still a lot of dominoes to fall here. The one thing that was fascinating to me, the Houston Astros are looking at possibly a reunion with Carlos Correa.
Wow.
Yeah, there is interest from the Astros.
Twins going to eat that salary, I bet. They want prospects. They need help down there in Houston with their besieging from injuries.
Many injuries. And they had another one today. Isak Paredes is going to be out 2 months with a hamstring injury.
Man, you hate to see it, Wolchuk.
Oh, you just do. You know,
you hate the Astros
don't root
and injuries.
For injury.
Yeah, you don't root for injuries.
Ever at all. But am I upset about it? For the players.
Yeah, I feel for that guy.
I feel for that individual, and I feel for their families. Yeah. For the Astros. Serves you right, you cheating bums. But Correa, maybe. I mean, Jeremy Pena is set to come off the IL at some point this week. He's been phenomenal in place of Correa. But that's a guy that, hey, I mean, his career was brilliant in Houston, and it hasn't been the same. I mean, he flirted with the Giants, then with Minnesota. I was really thinking the Rangers would be interested in him. Instead, obviously, they go and acquire Corey Seager. Hey, big-time win. That's the MVP. I stand by it. But
yeah, Correa is even more injury-prone than Seager.
Yeah, he is. That's saying something.
I mean, it wouldn't surprise me if he gets traded down there and instantly, you know, has a season ender, as unfortunate as that would be for Correa.
Okay, now we might be going too far. Or are we?
You know,
you can't go.
I just want to get another one of those laughs from Wolchuk. That always cracks me up. I need to make a GIF out of that or a GIF.
Yeah. The Rangers did put Jacob Webb on the 15-day IL. He's got back spasms, so Luis Curvelo is going to be recalled from AAA Round Rock, so look for him to maybe get in the action tonight. One notable omission, though, in the lineup, and I think there's something going to go on here. I think that they're going to have to make a decision on Jock Peterson, and he's not in the lineup again tonight.
What's the decision? Like,
I don't
they
I
can't really, go, DFA, go away? Right?
No, it would be a horrible decision because you want him to get right in the offseason at this point. You want to send him to Arizona or to.
Maybe you could send him to Arizona. Maybe you shut him down like an injury situation. Yeah. Like they did with Brad Miller. Yeah, and they just to kind of keep Brad Miller around in the 2023 season because he was great for the clubhouse. Maybe that because you just the issue is, and now you've lost two games. You lost a game last night you shouldn't have lost. You peed down your leg. You got tons of hits. You're absolutely just drooling all over the field with the ball, miscues left and right. Even our guy Sam Haggerty had a base running error, and that's something that doesn't happen often. Yeah. But you lose two games against the Halos, and they've been tough against you this year. But this race is so tight right now. You just can't afford to mess around with Jock. And I was hopeful he gets called up, and it's a tough ask, right? Like, he really hasn't had a ton of at-bats since he's come back from injury, but you can't wait around on him. And the sample size now is way too large where he has not been good this year. You've got to do something. And I'm not stunned that he's not in the lineup here today. It will be Josh Smith leading off, back in the lineup playing first. And Seager is batting second. He's back at shortstop after getting the night off last night. The rest of it's pretty similar with Kyle Higashioka DHing. Jonah's going to be catching, and Evo's back on the bump. So hopefully that spells victory tonight because they need it.
Yeah, it's the perfect way to salvage something. I would say with Jock Peterson, you are looking at trying to find perfect matchups for him to break him out because as we've seen with so many young, Langford, Seager, Semien, just one good series can set up everything and because of his talent. But if it doesn't come together over the next week, I think you go a stint on the shelf. And then if he comes back and again spits the bit, and I'm talking about two more games, then you have to shut it down and come back next year and see where we're at in spring training in April and then make the tough decision. But this is trending towards the worst signing of the CY era.
Yeah, it's not looking good. And now you're in a real big pickle of what the hell are you supposed to do with this guy? And I don't know. I really don't know what a good answer is here. But we're monitoring everything that's going on with the Rangers here at the deadline. Now, here are a list of names, and Jared gave us some of these earlier. This is Evan Grant, five prospects the Rangers could offer teams at the deadline. So you got to give to get. So here are the list of some options here. You do have the lefty and Corey Major's favorite, Cole Drake. And that Cole is spelled like Coles, the store. 25 years old from Wiley. Closest thing that the Rangers have to offer in terms of a major league ready starter right now is Cole Drake. He's got a 2.62 ERA over 17 starts in Frisco.
Damn, son.
He got promoted to AAA earlier this month, and he's averaged over 11 Ks per nine.
Let's go.
So he's been pretty damn dialed.
Seems like you could get something for him.
Yeah, I think he's pretty coveted. Mitch Bratt is another one at 22 years old, also a lefty. 4-1 career strikeout to walk ratio. This guy's got a lot of upside. The righty, Caden Scarborough, he's a lanky righty from Central Florida, only 10 and a third professional innings entering this year because of injuries, but he has struck out 83 hitters in 64 innings at Class A. So he is an absolute buzzsaw right now, but that's a guy that's probably needs some years to develop before he's major league ready. Alejandro Osuna would be another name that teams could be interested in because of a platoon player, and then Yermy Cabrera, who was a big signing coming out of the Dominican Republic. He's small. He's 5'11", 175, but just at 20 years old, good plate discipline, speed, power, ability to play all three outfield positions. That's another young up-and-comer, possibly, that a team would be interested in the upside and growth in a couple of years. So just some names, if you're like, okay, well, who would the Rangers trade in the farm? None of those, by the way, are Sebastian Walcott, and I don't think the Rangers want to move him, but that's who you could see maybe go back if the Rangers do acquire one of these relievers.
And didn't you say brought us around the league? That's what is coveted. Is the young arms.
Yeah, I was my guy, I asked him because I was just curious about what do people trade for. And he says really depends on the team, but upside pitching is usually preferred in a return.
Yeah. So well the Rangers seem like they got a couple of guys for that, handful.
It looks like the Mets might be in on my guy from St. Louis here, Helsley. So he might be off the board. Damn Mets.
Yeah, this is going to be secondary guys on the market. A lot of Rangers fans will have heard their name, and by a lot of Rangers fans, I mean me. But this is going to be guys that can serve a specific role, or they're betting, hey, if we take whatever good pitches you have and have you throw them in different situations, this is what the Rangers do. They study the market. They find guys who they think are underperforming in situations, and they bring them here and say, we're going to try this guy as our closer. I just think that's the most we can realistically hope for at this point. I don't see them being in the running for one of the premier relievers.
Well, 90% of what you just said there is incorrect. But
how so?
I'm not going to get into
that. That's not the point.
Don't. Make this difficult, okay?
Ronald Acuna Jr. back on the IL. That's a bummer for the sport of baseball. Even though the Braves have had a really ugly season, he's got a calf strain. You don't want to be Anthony Volpe of the Yankees.
Oh my gosh,
holy
dude.
Crap-a-rooney.
The E in Volpe stands for what, Wolchuk?
Error. 15 errors. That's a Major League Baseball lead this season. And he had two more last night. He's previously a Gold Glove winner. Gold Glove a winner.
Yeah, a winner. Award winner. Now he's a loser.
Now he is an error guy. Not good.
How's he making something. So many errors? What's his problem? Vision?
He just can't throw the freaking ball.
What position does he play?
He's like one hopping like everything he throws.
Oh, is he a Steve Sachs? Remember him, Dawson?
I do remember him, and I remember Chuck Knobloch.
Yeah.
Oh, the Knobloch.
Okay,
that's
so.
Such a great name. Chuck Knobloch is like an all-time.
Texas A&M.
Name. I love that name.
Great baseball name. Nice. I'd knock the E off my name if I'm Volpe. I'd go down to the courthouse tomorrow, see if we could work some magic.
Just try and change it.
Yeah, switch up the mojo.
Broadus, have you ever heard of Pete Gray?
Pete Gray was a one-arm baseball player?
That's right, 1945. Yeah. He had less errors and a slightly higher batting average in 1945 than Volpe, bro.
He was one-arm,
The one-arm man had one less error and a touch higher batting average than old Volpe.
This is a field player? Wow.
Yeah, it's pretty dang cool.
Pretty impressive.
Not good. We had a pair of twins that were traded. Tyler and Taylor Rogers both traded today. Giants traded Tyler Rogers to the Mets.
Oh, no.
Reds traded Taylor Rogers.
What if they were trading for each other? How cool would that have been?
That would have been pretty neat. Just to swap.
Yeah. Just swap houses and everything.
I mean, you don't have to get a new jersey unless they have the different numbers. Just keep the Rogers on the back of the jersey. That was stupid.
Are these guys twins? Dudes, right? Aren't these the Submariner Rogers? They throw a sidearm,
yes.
Like real low to the ground.
Very much like
Hobie.
Dan Quisenberry.
Yeah. Yes. The front runner
Kent Tekulve, Pittsburgh Pirates back in the day.
Tekulve.
Yeah.
With the V?
Submarine guy.
Yeah.
The old school Pirates hat with those funny hats.
Okay. Oh, man. Yeah. He was,
the submarine pitch is pretty nasty.
This guy was awesome.
Be weird.
I think you got to dip down.
To get Luis Robert Jr. from the White Sox right now. Mets being real active.
Robert. Is it Robert?
It's Robert.
It's Robert?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's Robert.
Nice call him Rob.
Is he a junior or a third?
He's a junior.
He's a junior.
Yeah, he's a junior.
Junior.
That's that guy. And then Luis Severino. My gosh. I guess we've got issues with the gambling stuff in Major League Baseball. And because he's been so damn bad at Sutter Health Park.
Bound for nowhere.
And last night, to start off, after he just complained about how much the park sucks, he said, quote, it's tough to pitch here. You're just not used to it. You have a routine your whole life. Then you come here and you just have to work around whatever you have. And it is a minor league park, but his record there in 12 starts, he's 0-9. And his ERA is a 6.68 with opponents hitting over 300 against him. So last night he gets out there for the first inning and he just slips twice while he's trying to pitch on the follow through. And it just looks like he doesn't want to be out there. And now people are wondering, okay, was he just like throwing the game?
Was there some gambling
stuff going on here? So I don't know. Maybe there ends up – I think he doesn't like the ballpark. Probably wanted to get the hell out of there. Should have talked with the A's beforehand and said, just schedule my start around this. I don't want to pitch in this ballpark, but now we've got possible illegal activity. I mean, allegedly. And there's been a lot of poker news today, man. It's been wild.
Yeah, a lot of poker news with Gilbert Arenas. That whole story is crazy down there in Los Angeles, getting some great poker movie recs from the crew.
Yeah.
So, you know, looking forward to picking that up.
The Gambler.
Tomorrow. We're live here at Cowboys Training Camp in Oxnard, California. Was that a movie, too, or just a song? Did they make a...
The Gambler, they made a movie.
Did they make a movie about that?
I think... And then there's also a movie...
Might be two.
What's the movie with... what's my guy that... Passion of Christ, that actor.
Mel Gibson.
Mel Gibson. Didn't he play Maverick? Was it Maverick? See, everyone's again.
Well, wouldn't that...
He was a gambler. He was a gambler. Like, James Colburn was
in it. Yes, yeah. Okay. I didn't know Mel Gibson was in that, too.
Yeah.
Wasn't that on a boat?
Kind of. Yeah, kind of.
A little adventure.
Yeah, but it was the movie was called The Maverick, and he was a poker player.
Well, the poker movie recommendations that I've received so far today got Boiler Room from Lucius and Molly's Game from The Office Ace Tim Callens. So if you got poker on the mind, maybe, you know, check those out with me. Apparently, this Molly's Game is a great movie. Everybody's been like,
very chesty.
Yeah. Okay. We got to run. We're live at Cowboys Training Camp, brought to you by On Time Experts, Rhino Shield, and Yardbird Southern Table and Bar. We're heading for a Hodge, Chief. What's in store?
My favorite TD of the day out here in Oxnard, plus the best sports quotes of the day next year in the nation.
Yeah, buddy, welcome back. G-Back Nation 105.3, the fan. We're live at training camp here in Oxnard, having so much fun covering the Cowboys. Another spirited practice today. It's pretty amazing. There was another fight. Shoddy made him run suicides at the end of practice because he was so mad. You want a bleeping fight? Well, line up. Get on the sideline. I think he said, get your ass on the sideline.
He did.
Segment's brought to you by the Frankels. If you've been injured in a car or truck wreck, call the Frankels first, 214-817-333-3333. Go online, frankelfirm.com. They only get paid when you win. The go-to car and truck wreck attorneys in Dallas, Brian.
How do I answer this question on Twitter? It says, Broadus, do you get the sense we might run the ball too much? If Shoddy thinks we're going to run the ball all day on better teams, he's in for a rude awakening. You must be balanced as much as you can to win in the NFL. What's your opinion on this?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a good chance your passing game is going to be the strength of your offense based on just the guys that you have. So, yeah, there has to be some balance for sure. I think the passing game and the threat of it and the way, okay, we double in CeeDee Lamb. We got to make sure we have the safety over top of George Pickens. You have Ferguson eating it up in the middle of the field. Oh, wow, you got the speed of Terp. You heard what Schottenheimer said about the way defensive coaches feel when Terp's on the field, OS. So that's going to open up the opportunities for your rushing attack. I think you're gonna pass to run. That would be my thought.
I think you need to run to pass. You know, I think if you're in the business of passing to run, the defense already wants you there.
Yeah,
and I think the defense has figured out how to kind of suffocate this passing game. So I think you're going to line up week one, and they're like, dare Dak to throw between levels, you know, with anticipation and pinpoint accuracy. I don't think he can do it.
You're a defensive coordinator, and you're more fearful of it. You're going to put eight guys in the box and be like, I don't think George Pickens
No, I'm saying the opposite. I think I have you in checkmate even with Lamb and Pickens because you're quarterback. I think you're going to have to run me out of the coverage that will stop this Cowboys passing game, even with Lamb and Pickens.
Yeah, I would lean with, I think you're going to have to prove that you can run the football. Because right now, it is unproven. You've got a lot of new guys in the backfield, and you've got some new pieces along the offensive line. So, I mean, I get kind of the question, because if you go back to Brian Schottenheimer's history as a play caller, he has been very run-heavy. Right, with the Jets, and you had Sean Green in that backfield.
And letting Russ Cook kind of got him fired.
Yeah. And so I think with him it's just going to be more of it's not the lip service we got with Mike McCarthy, where he talked about wanting to run the football, but just like would get away from it if the second things went away from them with their game plan. I think Shoddy is going to have good balance there, but there's no way when you have George Pickens and CeeDee Lamb on your football team that you're not going to be throwing the ball at all.
Yeah, I just want to set up so when we do throw it, the defense doesn't see it coming again and again and again. That's going to give you the chances, I think, for man coverage. But I don't know if they have the runner to dictate that.
Why do I think this is more about the defense than totally the offense?
Like if you start getting down multiple scores, now we're feeling, well, crap. Well,
I'm thinking like he's working on his offense running the ball. He's also helping his defense trying to defend the damn run.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean, to me, it's kind of like you could say he's running the ball too much, but you're going, okay, they're getting better at it, but they're having to line up and play defense against it.
Mm-hmm. You know? Yeah, I think that's the two biggest priorities. Maybe they don't talk about it a lot, but in that interview Connor Riley did with you, and I believe if you hired the guy, you probably liked his ideas. Connor Riley was telling you guys at the draft show that weekend, if you can't run it and the other team it can run it against you, you're dead in the water.
Yeah. See, to me, I don't feel like that Schottenheimer can call enough running plays. And I know the strength is – you know, with the receivers and potentially your tight end and maybe with this offensive line a little bit. But I feel like that every time he runs the ball, that puts that defense in a mode of having to get off blocks and defend the run.
Yeah, well, I mean, what was the question? Is this for the regular season or are we talking about practice out here, right?
No, I'm just talking.
It's practice, I agree with you.
The question was, is he running the ball too much?
No.
Because all we're talking about is him running the ball. And I'm like glad he's doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I see the offense getting better at it, but it puts the defense in the mode of like having to play the run.
It has to be an attention to detail. Like,
yeah. Both his sides of the ball are winning here.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm sure maybe somebody's tracking it, but I'm not out there watching team feeling like, oh, wow, all they're doing is running the ball.
Yeah.
You know, like it feels like.
Does it feel like, though, from.
It feels pretty balanced
to
me.
Plenty today.
Yeah.
But do you feel. Okay, when they got down inside the 12-yard line,
yeah, the red zone
That's when they. You know, we didn't see the red zone on the other end. That's the thing where we miss Pickens. And,
but yeah, that was the touchdown of the day. That was the one that I was excited to bring up, was that Pickens touchdown.
Yeah.
You saw Dak doing kind of the.
And they got
the touch ball back in
the
corner.
And they got him on Hooker. So how did they do that? Did they do it with.
Was it on Bell?
No, it was Hooker. It was Hooker they got him on.
Well, whatever they did, they put the DBs in a predicament. They motioned Lamb over to pick inside, and then
Hooker had to pick him up. The one that went to the corner,
yeah,
that was from above. That was Hooker.
All righty, great Cowboys conversation, Brian. Did not see that coming. It is time now for the sports hodgepodge. Here's the Chief.
Yeah, I mean, that was where I wanted to kick off the proceedings here, is just George Pickens in the red zone. We've talked about it plenty.
They set that up by scheme to get Lamb on somebody they didn't think could cover, and that was a problem for Hooker there.
Can you? Okay, so my question on that, because CeeDee said, I don't know how often we're going to see man in the red zone. Can the defense effectively double both those guys with the compacted field and still protect against the run? Or is this a plan in red zone? Like, well, whoever they're not doubling, we're
just
going to.
Just on space, they're it's helpful. Just
stretching the hell out of it.
They don't have to cover. To me, what I saw and we didn't get a chance to see it. Maybe we'll pick it up tomorrow. Maybe there'll be more work. But what I saw it the star was Lamb inside and Pickens outside, and it was all that was Pickens working the back line. With CeeDee working the inside stuff, you know, but they were on the same side. So I think that they could do stuff to always put either one of these guys in motion and not let somebody bracket them. Because when it happens, when you get like condensed or you get bunch, then you get guys that get naturally picked off. You get guys that drop coverage. You create doubt. Like, who's my guy?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think this coach is smart enough to create. If he was smart enough to get Lamb on Hooker, he's smart enough to, like, all right, tell me who their worst, whoever the opponent is, tell me who their worst cover guy is down here. Who's the guy that we could pick on down here? And let's go do that. I think this guy will be fine doing that. I really do.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that was one of those plays that just hit all the right notes in terms of schematically moving Lamb, putting them on the same side together,
right,
creating the mismatch, and putting the defenders in a bind. And then you see Dak with the touch in the corner to Pickens, and Pickens has not been a guy who's been incredible in the red zone in his time in Pittsburgh. I think that has much to do more with Pittsburgh's offense and crappy quarterbacks.
You're talking about a Pickens catch.
Yeah, we missed. This is a Pickens touchdown. We missed.
I'm talking about Lamb. Lamb was on
both
Hooker.
Of them were on the same side. Yeah.
Lamb was on Hooker on the one.
Pickens was Bell.
Okay.
Yeah, see, that's the one that I was talking about where somehow they got CeeDee on that. I'm sorry. I thought you were talking about the Lamb one, but you were talking about the Pickens one. Okay.
But it's nice that we have multiple touchdown plays to appreciate the schematics and the mismatch creation and stuff like that. You saw Ferguson get in the end zone as well. So all that was really encouraging today. Holden with the catch of the day for sure from Milton there. In the back of the end zone as well, the one-hander. That was some pretty stuff. So that was the touchdown stuff I wanted to address here. Now, elsewhere, you got some good quotes, I would say, floating around in the world of sport right now. You did have Cam Ward being asked about just the way he feels about his team right now, the rookie quarterback in Tennessee, and the quote was, "We're very mid right now."
Okay.
He calls it like it is, man.
It's honesty.
he absolutely. He's probably a little bit frustrated, the competitor in him, because we got some of the Madden ratings that were that were popping out today. Did you see that?
He was at a 70 or something, wasn't he?
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, well, he was like a 77. Let's see. He was like a 72. And Scataboo was higher than him.
Wow.
And I'm a Scataboo guy. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But it feels like the disrespect for Cam Ward just – creating a
pretty hard, probably. They're betting that he's really going to struggle as a rookie. But I mean, everything this guy does and says just exudes winner.
Yeah.
Like he's not running from it.
He's won everywhere he's been.
He's not looking to candy coat it for his teammates, and he's not scared of the repercussions. That's leadership. You know,
yeah.
And I just wish maybe Dak could watch a little bit of Cam Ward and add that to his bag. Can we get a little bit more honesty to make these guys feel urgency about making you happy, about keeping you satisfied? Like, that was one of Magic Johnson's greatest traits as a leader, is every single one of his players, other than Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, were terrified of disappointing him because he'd be honest with them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I don't know. Cam Ward is the real deal, not only as a player, but a leader.
Yeah, I'm fascinated to see how this career goes. They have a pretty good offensive line in Tennessee. That's basically all they have to speak of from a roster standpoint. That's impressive, but their offensive line is pretty good. So we'll see if he can make some plays down the field. Some of the highlights have been impressive. The most impressive rookie highlight, though, I think, Tet McMillan. Did you guys see the catch he had today?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. The one-hander, bobble, touchdown. Could have been a Cowboy. Should have been a Cowboy. Would have been a Cowboy.
Thanks a lot, Caroline. I think Steven, they're going to draft him. Isn't that what you said yesterday?
Yeah, he pretty much sold it. Well, and we kind of knew.
Yeah.
Worked out okay, though.
Yeah, Pickens. You wouldn't have had George Pickens.
And Booker.
We mentioned earlier Travis Hunter calling himself the unicorn, and Pete Prisco's out there in Jacksonville, and he was like, man, Travis Hunter, unreal the way he runs and runs and runs all day. If he's working offense on a day, he'll still work with the defensive coaches during special teams time, and it'll be vice versa on the days he works with the defense. But the team is just raving about his stamina, and everyone's out there just going like, what the heck? And he really does. Like, so he's going to need to be studied in terms of just his general circulatory system and how he is set apart genetically. Since ninth grade, we've been reading about this dude, and it's still the case. Saw him have a nice grab on Jordan Lewis today, who apparently has been really impressive in Jags camp as well. So, yeah, Hunter is just all that he's been cracked up to be to this point. For sure. The other quote that I appreciated today came from our buddy Dick Fangio. They signed a Dory Jackson in the corner. And
he can't play dead.
He said, quote, "I didn't watch a whole lot of tape on him. Howie kind of wanted to sign him, and when Howie wants to sign somebody, it doesn't matter what I say. So we just took him in." That's how he describes the acquisition of a Dory Jackson.
Yeah. And I couldn't put him on the field late in the game because he's a liability, but I just thought I'd let you know that.
GM wanted him. I mean, that's brutal. Man, you feel horrible for some of these coaches.
I think we have, did you guys see, we have Hugh Freeze. I believe we have some sound from Hugh Freeze today.
Oh, no. Auburn practice?
Auburn, yeah.
Is he saying his golf game has kind of gone by the wayside a little bit now?
No, he's
is he doubling down on his golf game?
he's doubling down on something here.
Oh.
Hugh Freeze, Auburn head coach. What are the two things that you must have if you're going to play football in the SEC?
Good toughness,
length, and girth.
Wow, length and girth.
Length and girth is what he said.
He said
you need length and girth in this league.
if you want to succeed, the two most important things about being dominant in the SEC. Simply, length and girth. Speaking of that, did you guys watch any WNBA last night?
No.
I think I caught a little bit of it.
I was on the tsunami watch.
Oh, were you?
Yeah, I was a little worried we were going to get floated away.
I was having a conversation watching this WNBA game.
I was which boat I was going to jump on in case the tsunami got too close.
Hide.
I was not aware of that until I got up this morning, so that would have been a tough way to wake up, sitting right there on the harbor.
I would have been on a boat.
Right?
Yeah.
Just hit me up, bang on the door before you bail if it happens tonight. But I was having a conversation like, okay, so in women's volleyball, the net is lower than the men's. Okay, let me just establish that fact. Okay,
they got some ladies that can jump.
And we do, yes, and we have some ladies in basketball that can jump. I guess there's a French gal who's doing two-handers off 2 feet.
She was the second overall pick, right?
I guess.
Was it the...
But I'll take your word for it.
Yeah, I think the second age. Overall, yeah.
Why not bring this thing down to 9 feet, right? And now instead of layups and bouncers off the glass and pump fake, pump fake, pump, you know, you got some gals that can come through the lane and hammer that thing. You got a fast break.
Seattle team.
I feel like you'd almost have to have like a big picture 10-year plan of sorts where like the younger, like high, where kids are, like girls are growing up playing on that. And then eventually you move into a 9-foot goal lead. Because all these girls, like, how would that change the way they're just from a jump shot standpoint?
It might be an adjustment.
Like,
yeah.
How long? It would be some of the ugliest shooting numbers for probably years on end until they sort of adapt to the new height.
I don't know.
Or maybe it wouldn't be that big of a deal. I don't know.
Would a lower hoop, like, change your angle and make it more likely you could drop it in the middle? Coming, I'm not sure. I would always lower the hoops as a kid and get them down to 8, 8.5 feet so we could dunk. And I think shooting the three was easier on that lower hoop. Maybe I'm off on that. But I tell you what, you know, we have a smaller ball.
Yeah.
Right. Let's not act like, oh, I can't believe you're degrading women like that. No, that's not what this is about. I'm just trying to make the product a little bit more entertaining.
Sure. Yeah,
so these
ladies
can get out in the fast break and dunk that thing, because without the dunk, I don't know if I would have fallen in love with basketball as a kid. You know, that was what I was waiting for. When is Clyde the Glide Drexler going to take off? Woohoo! You know, and I was just, it's an electrifying play in basketball, and you don't get enough of that in the women's game.
Our very own Cooper Flagg probably wouldn't even play the sport if he couldn't. It's like all he wants to do.
Yeah.
He just wants to posterize folks. But yeah, last night.
What if he became fat like Luca was?
Okay.
That'd be hilarious, wouldn't it?
It would be
if he just all of a sudden said, you know what, I'm going to be a star fat guy on this team.
If he was as good as Luca was, I wouldn't care.
That's what I'm saying. Like, he just put on massive weight and just started, like, man, this guy, he's like Luca. It's amazing.
But he plays defense?
But he plays defense.
Yeah.
Kind of a big guy defender.
I'm fine with that.
I mean, hooping against a heavy set dude is tough. They're so solid. You can't move them off their spot. They got that extra girth to just turn around and hit jump hooks on you all day.
Is it hard to play against a sweaty guy in basketball?
Yes.
Oh, for sure.
A big sweaty guy? Forget about it.
Yeah, it really is disgusting.
Right.
Okay. Luca's secret, actually.
We'll take you to the broadcast, the WNBA broadcast from last night, Golden State Valkyries and the Atlanta Dream. The game was paused because something was thrown onto the court.
Oh, yes.
Oh. Here's the broadcast.
This is Buffalo Bills.
Yeah. Hayes gets blocked by Maya Caldwell. Something flies on the court, actually, from the crowd. Okay. The officials will say they will continue play as that goes off the fingertips of the Valkyries. And you can see the object, the block right there. The object comes, that green thing bounces, and it goes to the sideline.
That green thing.
We're not exactly where it, we're not sure where it came from.
Came from the Incredible Hulk.
No room for any of that type of activity. Yeah, and no one's picked the object up yet. You guys, oh my gosh, okay. Okay. Inappropriate.
Yeah.
Inappropriate.
Get whoever it is.
I'm going to have to go ahead and confiscate that thing.
Yeah.
Let's get this off the court. Tuck it right here in my purse.
That whole time they have no idea what this green thing is until finally the camera zooms in on it. They're like, oh, okay. Yeah. Okay.
Oopsies.
Nobody wanted to touch it. But
I
thought,
Buffalo.
I thought, yeah, this is like the Buffalo.
I have the picture on my phone.
The Bildos. Yeah. But they're taking it to the WNBA.
Why do I have that picture?
The quotes were pretty funny, though.
I was watching film one day and it happened.
One of the Valkyries players said, I mean, first of all, it was super dangerous. And then we find out what it was, and we just kind of started laughing. I've never seen anything like that. I'm just glad we worked through that situation. We stayed locked in. We stayed concentrated.
There you go. You can be tough like that.
Perseverance. Another player said, yeah, one of our players almost got hit with it. So that's very dangerous.
Yeah.
But we persevered. Persevered from the flying Bilbos raining down into the WNBA. And this is on
what
the
if they had one of those nights?
The memes like off this have been incredible, by the way. Like, they're turning it into a Gatorade Is It In You meme.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, did you see the Gatorade huge advertisement they had with the, with the, all the WNBA players, and then the slogan is, let them cook?
Haven't seen that.
And everyone's like,
What?
Oh, no. That is so derogatory.
That's pretty, yeah.
What are you going to say next?
Yeah.
Let him clean? Clean the glass? Thank you, Chief. Sports Hodgepodge in the books. It's the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan, and we're coming back to Crosstalk with The Fan After Dark. See what Fred and Blake have for you here on The Fan. Here we go. It's the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. Our training camp coverage continues in Oxnard, California. And tomorrow, a padded practice for you. We'll have three live mics at about 2:30. Nick Harris is going to join us at 5 o'clock. Of course, you got Krusty's Corner. And a lot of very interesting things happening, including Nate Thomas, left tackle, and Perrion Winfrey, defensive tackle, that maybe the Cowboys have found not one but two guys to emerge from the depth chart and give you some power and quality play there along that line of scrimmage as we get set now to hand off the broadcast baton to Fred and Blake. Good evening, gentlemen. How the heck are you?
Another 5 hours of radio gold, boys. Always always appreciate listening to you guys. And I was glad that my name didn't come up on the top 10 employee list for anything nefarious or unscrupulous. So,
yeah, I don't.
Good use.
Yeah, I think you're a model employee.
Well, let's not get carried away. But.
Yeah,
but,
I mean, there's a few, but we don't have to bring those up.
We can't all be Blake Elliott.
How the hell are you doing tonight, Blake?
Feeling good. 1 hour show. This is my last show with Fred before he departs the country, heads to the capital of Kansas. So really excited to see him go and see his son.
State, actually, but no, just the state is what I'm leaving, yeah. Not the country.
Yeah, we're basking in the last 59 minutes that we'll have a Fred Davis before he leaves the country.
So what do you guys have planned for the show tonight?
It's a haiku hump day, boys. Haiku Woo! Hump day. That's right. That's right. Now, because it's a short show, only two topics tonight, which will be me driving to Kansas, which, as you guys both know, or all you guys know, is not out of the country, and then Rangers deadline, which stand by for that. And then, of course, a little shoddy audio and who's left with the way these closers are running, what do you have to give without, giving up a Sebastian Wolcott? And my question for you guys, and just, put this in your hip pocket, do we trust CY to go get a bat the way we trust him to go get a pitcher?
That's a good question. I don't think they've done the bat thing, have they?
Well, I'm just saying, like, Jock Peterson's been garbage, and Jake Berger has been anything but good. So,
I think this team hasn't needed offense during this CY run, so that's up for determination. But, yes, obviously the Jock Peterson thing was a mistake up until now, and we're hoping that turns around in a big way. I don't know if we can trust CY right now to be able to talk Ray Davis into making kind of moves for impact players because of how, tough he is on that luxury tax threshold. I think we're going to end up with some compromise with, like, role players they're hoping can step into a bigger role.
I agree.
Can I ask a question?
No. What is it?
How many interviews have y'all done in Oxnard this season or this time so far?
This week,
three.
We got Bland, Steve,
and George.
Pickens.
Yeah.
Okay. What was the most surprising thing you learned about each three?
Ooh,
white Pickens' teeth are.
Okay. That's
I mean, it's like incredible. Mesmerizing white.
Just how much Pickens is a football historian?
He really is.
Like just a total ball knower.
Yeah, he is.
Awesome.
I mean, the thing about that George Pickens conversation that was interesting to me is, like, he can look up and see the trajectory of the ball and how it's spinning and how it's turning and then make a better guess than anybody else and where he's got to jump to get that.
Do you think he can help CD with that? Not that any of us are saying CD can't catch a deep ball. He's phenomenal. I'm just saying take his game to another level.
That's mom and dad.
Mm. Okay. Hey, real quick, that was Hal McCray. You were right about that. You guys were talking about the pirouette.
He hit a guy with the phone.
Alan Eskew, former reporter with the Topeka Capital Journal, my hometown newspaper, did a spin as he chucked the telephone. It's internet gold before there was the internet.
Well, looking forward to an hour of radio gold here coming up from
you boys.
Have a great night. We'll catch up with you tomorrow.
Later, bros.
At least Blake. So here they come.
No, you'll catch up with me. I'll be at the KNC.
Okay.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, dude. Right on.
Yeah. KNC.
We'll do crosstalk on the other side.
Heck yeah.
KNC before Kansas. I like it. I see it now, Fred. Thank you so much. Have a great night. Thanks to DJ Pridemore, remote engineer here, along with Tim Collins in Oxnard, California. Thanks to Lucius Alexander back in the Pimp Cup Master Control 75 and Fitzhugh. Just went 5 flawless once again. Thanks to Woolchuck and Schiafalo and Broadus. Back tomorrow at 2 o'clock with another padded practice and 3 live mics. And until then, you're going home with the G-Bag Nation. Eddies.